Do we want to wait on Donna to be here with the... She's the one who brings the card in. So it's up to you.
I don't want to get accused of the card.
Memory card for the recorder. Is that not right? And so I don't want to move forward.
I think we need to... We were scheduled for 9, so I think we need to move forward.
Go for it.
We have accounts payable.
Move to approve checks number 343361 through 343458, and there are no warrants or journal entries.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Motion carries. We have next on the payroll, next is on the agenda is approval of payroll.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. We have... Next on the agenda, let's see, approval of previous minutes and executive sessions, meetings.
Move to approve regular meeting minutes of 3-2, 3-9, and 3-16 of 2015 and executive session minutes 3-2 with corrections.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Presentation, next on the presentation of the collector's tax books and annual settlement and fourth year sale. I've just received the CD on this.
We have copies here in front of us, but I don't, I think that's something that the collector usually comes in for. And
ready for you, Sheila?
Come on up, Sheila.
Sorry, I thought you had a couple of things. I tied up on something.
Yes.
Okay. I come before you to present the collector's annual year-end settlement according to Revised Statute Missouri Chapter 139. And, gentlemen, before you, first, I submitted the collector's delinquent list, and it charges the collector of first-class counties to prepare and keep a list of delinquent taxes, which had been submitted as a personal property delinquent list. and the land delinquent list for real estate. The commission has before them the total pages as accepted. The county commission also has a flash drive of the detail for Commissioner Williams, and then there's a CD there of all the detail as accepted by the commission. All documents have been submitted to the county clerk along with a copy of the collector's annual settlement. And as collector, I'm to answer any questions the commission may have in regard to the collection of the preparation of the taxes of the delinquent list.
And this is what you just gave us this morning?
Yes, I tried to get it. I went up a couple of times last week, and I just unfortunately, when I would get up there, there wouldn't be anyone to leave it with in the office. The delinquent, what you have on the flash drive and the CD is the detailed list.
Right.
It was agreed it would take quite a bit of paper to print. And then the totals are on the paper there. And the one page shows a total of, the first one is the real estate. And then it breaks it out. That's the total of the real estate that is delinquent. And the page attached to it is the individual years. And as you gentlemen know, we've went with a new processor, and I'm not satisfied with actually the way my totals come out, but that's all I can get right now. On your, like the 2007 and 8, it breaks it out to the entities. It doesn't give me a total on that page. I can manually total that up, and I have on one to see if they come back. Of course, individually, as we balance them, they do, and they match what's the total on the total page. And on your data, it is prepared according to what the state requires. It has the parcel number, the owner's name, the legal description, and the year's delinquent. That's on the real estate and then the personal. And if there's any questions into the procedure that we go through in collecting those, I'd be happy to answer.
Well, there's over 1,600 pages here, so.
Yes, that's why.
I can't really go over it all right now.
I wouldn't expect the, even if it were the books, and that's why last year when we discussed about whether to print the books again or date. I'll just go ahead and say, if you don't have questions, we send delinquent. This is real estate we're talking about right now. And on those that are more than, that are 2 years delinquent, February 1st, we sent notices out to all those taxpayers because those are all subject to the tax sale. Of course, they have received notices last year, and they'll receive probably three more notices this year. Those that are only delinquent for 2014 in the real estate, their notice was sent out the 1st of March. And if I were to run the totals today, they would be different than what you see their responses to the delinquent. And I was hoping to get time to run them today, but I didn't get time this morning. But that is what the totals that you see there is what, after they're entered into record, the county clerk charges me with on Form 1313 and sends to the Department of Revenue. And we're to balance the year-end settlement here from the delinquent tax book that submitted last year is where the totals begin that we balance with throughout the year. Now, if you want me to go on, I'll explain on the personal property. If you want me to stop, I'll hush. The personal property, we do not send delinquent notices on except to the business owners. And the personal property is collected in, along with the Department of Revenue is when they get their car tags. Of course, we send the bills, and at the bills showed if they've got a delinquent on it. And if they try to get their go to get their car license and they don't have a paid tax receipt, then they have to come and pay the bill before they can get their license.
So we'll table this until our
no.
The delinquent tax book
she
is
just presented it to us.
Okay.
Just it's given the county clerk must certify those totals to me then.
Okay.
And they reflect on the year end settlement after it's presented to you. And if you question me of that I've done due diligence in collecting those taxes, then the county clerk charges it on the settlement. Well, not on the settlement, charges me with it on chapter on 1313.
We can move on.
Yeah. All right, I think that's all we have, then we'll...
Okay, then I'll show you the settlement. Then we'll move on to the collector's settlement. And I think that's what you first got is the totals of all the delinquents. And then behind that, I believe you'll have the year-end settlement. And I have copies here if anyone wishes.
Is it on this flash drive?
I'm sorry, sir.
Is it on this flash drive you gave me?
The settlement? No, it's okay. Not. Uh-uh.
I don't know, because there's all, you know, there's 31 different files, so I didn't know.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's quite lengthy in the way the provider did that delinquent book is he did one parcel number, and if it was 2007, 8, 9, had
right.
Them together.
I didn't know if the settlement was on here also. Do you have copies of it?
Yeah, I laid it right up there, sir. I put a manual copy of the delinquent list and the settlement. Do you have yours?
Yes.
That's this?
No, sir.
Did you put it at each spot, or did you just put it all
yeah,
the way?
Yeah, no, if anyone wants a copy of the settlement, it's here available. The format of the settlement is prepared according to the Director of Revenue and the State Auditor's Office. They set them. And if everyone has it in their hand, on the second page is where the data begins for the current taxes. And you'll see on the left-hand side is the charges that I'm charged with. Those charges are filed with the Department of Revenue. And I have broken out the charge from the TIF and the SIDS. And then you'll see the amount of protested taxes there. And then any additions that have been added during the year. On the right-hand side is how the collector answers those by collection or by delinquent tax, which is reflected in the totals that you had before, or by abatement. Once again, I broke out the collection of your TIF and SID so that you could see how they came into the process. That's on the 2014 on the real, and then you'll see that follows below with the personal, the railroad and utility. Normally, railroad and utility is normally always paid current, and the only reason you see that one at 510 is the State Tax Commission charged the county clerk with a railroad and utility for 2013 tax. She charged her in they sent it to her in February, and she charged me just then. And they're in the process of making that payment. You see a protest on the railroad utility of the $32,000 that will be held in the protest account to the state, and that will probably take a while because it's Southwest Airlines, and it's not just here. They'll have to throughout the state. Below that is the protested taxes. And if you have any questions on protest taxes, I have a list of those that are in protest now. I didn't know if that was something you wanted to see now or not.
Those protested taxes, will they be handled through the circuit court, or will they be handled through the BOE this coming year?
Your protested taxes, they protest with the State Tax Commission or the circuit court, and typically it's the State Tax Commission. Once they, when they go through BOE in the summertime for 2015, those that go through BOE, if the BOE commission does not come to an agreement with the customer, then they can file under protest, and they file, and I'll receive a list of those with the State Tax Commission or the circuit court.
I'm aware of that, but this is for 2014, the protested taxes, so those haven't been. When they came in to pay their taxes for 2014, they protested $1,128,000, or $129,000, basically.
Uh-huh.
Is that settled through the BOE or circuit court, because there's a process to go through, but you have it here. Is it? How do you make collection on that?
The 2014 came before you, the BOE, last July. They came before BOE last July, and the BOE commission had the authority to rule on that. If they didn't come to an agreement last July when they went through BOE, then it gave them, they could file under protest with the State Tax Commission and the collect, and then when they pay their taxes, I am to put them in the protest account. So they came before the BOE last July. Now the state is who has total control of that now, the state court or the tax commission.
My question is, they paid the taxes,
yes, sir,
this year, but they have filed it under protest. So you have the money, but they have filed it under protest.
Yes, it's in a protest escrow.
Okay, and if they come forward in to the BOE and are turned down, then they have the right to go to this, to the circuit court, and then go to the State Tax Commission with it. Actually, I've got that in reverse. I think it's the they come to BOE and then they go to the tax commission, then they can go to circuit court. But I just wanted to make sure that we have such a large amount of taxes there that we have the money, but the only way they can get it back is if the ruling from one of those entities, whether it be BOE, State Tax Commission, or Circuit Court, allows them to get their money back.
The BOE has not a play in it at this stage. They had theirs in the year of the 2014 year. It's a state tax commission. Once they pay their taxes under protest, then it's put in a protest escrow account. It sits there until I get an order from the state tax commission, or if it's, all of these are under the state tax commission except the 2011 and 12 was in circuit court. But all of those are under the state tax commission, and they will stay in that account. The money will stay in that account. The entities, I sent them a courtesy letter to let them know how much is being held in that protest account. And when the state gives the ruling, when they first give the ruling, depending on the type of ruling, typically I have to hold it for 30 days, giving the other party a chance to respond. And when it's, but when it's final, then I pull the money out of that protest account according to that decision that I'm given by the court.
And they have to do that within a certain period of time, I hope, because the taxing entities set, without these dollars,
that would be nice,
to set their levies or to do anything. So I was that's my question, is
okay,
how quick do they get their money? Because it doesn't go, I thought the BOE was a part of the process, but this is 2014 that has been protested from what the BOE, what if they didn't come before the BOE and they walk in to pay their taxes and they say, I protest, I want this filed under protest. And whenever they do that, then they have to come before the BOE this year or last year. That's my question.
Okay. Anyone that comes to the collector and files a form and says they want to protest their taxes and they give the, and they fill out the form correctly, I put those taxes in the protest account. I have an appeal number from the State Tax Commission, all of those that have went through BOE and already been accepted, and I have those coded for that. Then if per the State Tax Commission, and if they come in and say, I am a new owner, if they are a new owner and did not have a chance to go through BOE, or if they can prove that it has been raised, they did not receive a increased value to be given a chance to go through BOE, then the state, those are only two provisions that they'll hear them without going through the BOE. If they're a new owner after BOE closed, then, and so that gives them not a chance to go through, then the state will hear them. That would be the only exception. But anyone that is in the protest account in 2014 would have went through BOE unless they met those qualifications. And the money is paid, and it sets there. Now, I will say, last year we did, which I don't agree with, but it doesn't matter what I agree, the statutes say that they must pay the taxes, they must pay them currently. But there was the court ruling on the housing developments that I'd been holding for some time and waiting for, the state was waiting on the court decision. And it came through and allowed them to not even have to have paid their taxes, but they gave them the ruling as if they just had to file as protest, but they said they didn't have to pay their taxes. So it caused us to have to take it directly from the entities when that ruling came, and they were notified of that. But the statutes say that they must pay the taxes currently in order to be in protest. And over on the left of that, it tells how many of those that money was distributed out of that protest account. It tells how much the abated amount. And then where it says by protest on the left, that tells you how much is still being held for that year in the protest account. And the list of the 13, the ones that you see that are still being held are high dollar ones. And they went through, they have their appraisal. It's then the assessor has a chance to go back. And so then when he goes back, I hold another 30 days. And then they have another 30 days if the ruling's there to present new evidence. And Let me just give you a list of those who are still in protest. Maybe that'll... I don't have three copies, but I can get someone to make them right quick if you want. These are the 2013s that are waiting a decision right now. And those, as you can see on that, that's a high dollar one. And these are all 14s. If you want me to make it, I will.
Mike can get us extra copies if you don't care to give the girls, give them to the girls up there and let them distribute to us, Mike. I'd like to see those.
And those are available to anyone. I've sent them the complete list to one school, which is wanting to know the ones that had protest. They always go before the BOE, and you see the appeal numbers on that, and then the state sends that appeal number. And the only exception is now... Those that come in that have not went through BOE or anything, if I do not get an appeal number from the state on that, because they have to go ahead and file with the state and the state accept them, if I do not get an appeal number from the state, and which I'll be doing in April, and then I'll check with the circuit court to make sure they've not filed there, then those funds will be released to the entities at that time. And there's usually several at that time. I have a couple of customers you might see on that list that every year since when I took office in 99, they've always filed under protest but never proceed and do the legal requirements. If you don't, have I satisfactorily answered the protest question?
You've answered it. I don't know whether it's satisfactory or
I'm
not.
Sorry. So what did I not explain?
That's
please.
Fine. That's fine. We'll just move on with this because I don't understand some of the things.
Well,
I'll ask you later.
Please. Uh-huh. Yeah. Anytime. I'm in my office from 6 a.m. to whenever. On the third page, where it's the back taxes, on the top is the 2013 and prior land taxes, and you will notice we have separated a charge there for 2011 and 12 of the central fire per the court order, and I showed what was collected on them separate so that, but that total that is delinquent on that is included in the delinquent total. So in your delinquent list, gentlemen, I gave you a sheet of central fire so that you would see exactly how much is delinquent and the number of counts that are delinquent yet on that, because that court order was for a year for me to collect them as a current, and the year has now passed. So we need to discuss that at another time, I guess. But on the settlement, I broke it out so you could see. Then when we go down to the bottom of the page are all the other fees and that we collect. Those fees from below penalties and interest, with the exception of the tax sales surplus and the retirement fund, go to the county. That's for licenses and copies and so forth. All of those totals from those pages come over to your front page to answer to the collections, delinquents, and there's a list of all the entities showing how much we have paid those entities. That's on the front page under distributions. With the distributions, where you see a total of $54,839,000, then at the top under the collections, it should match that total.
On your total delinquents, that's just for 14, correct, or is that from previous years also?
The total delinquents is everything.
Okay.
Uh-huh. All the pages, two or three, come back to the front page. The collections, delinquents, abatements, that's...
So it'd be... What prior years, do you know?
Pardon?
What prior years? Is it, does it go all the way back to 10 or 11?
On the real estate, we have an 07. We have one 07 account and an 08
back.
On the real estate. Now, the personal property, of course, the total delinquents is absolutely everything on the front page.
Okay.
The personal property, yes, it takes 10 forward.
Okay.
And then your surtax and the cities, how much is delinquent on them. Okay. The taxes that we're charged with, under you see the commissions that goes to the county, 1% of the collections taken goes into county GCR, and then the assessment fund is deducted. And for 2014, the ratio, I'm charged with that from the assessor per statute 137, 720, and 721. Its ratio for 2014 was 0.009744. But of course, that assessment total is made up of all taxes collected, and the ratio depends on the year that it is charged. On the delinquent book, the county commission and the county clerk, through the assessor's office, makes any corrections to that throughout the year. And that's why when you gentlemen have the abatements and so forth, if there's any errors found, that's corrected. Any questions?
Nope.
Is commission's fully satisfied with the presentation of this collector's settlement? If it would be entered into the record and the clerk of the commission certify the amounts to the director of revenue according to revised statute 139.190.
Do you want to talk about your fourth year sale?
I'm sorry, what?
Your fourth year sale.
Oh, okay. The fourth year sale, after property goes through three sales, and there's no trustee appointed, then the collector's given the responsibility that she can sell those over-the-counter per the statutes of the over-the-counter third year. The fourth year, when it goes through four sales, at that fourth sale, it can be sold that day at the sale for any amount, immediate possession, no right of redemption. For all of those that do not sell that day, then the collector has them on her website, and they're offered for sale throughout the year. If after the first of the year, I started this about 2 years ago, and it has helped, is we notify any property owner that touches any of those lots. Now, anyone can come in and buy them. They don't have, but we send out the letter and the map showing the property owner that touches those lots to let them know that this property has been through four sales and is offered for sale. And we have sold five. We did that the first of last week, I think, is when the papers actually got out. And I just wanted to make you aware that any of those that sell, then they'll be back on the tax rolls, so the entities will begin their money. And it's sold to someone that is not delinquent on taxes, that is paying their taxes, and they're property owners, so that they proceed. And the list is always available on the website. And that's all I have, unless you gentlemen have any questions. And I'll be in my office anytime if you should think of any. Okay?
Thank you, Sheila.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, next on the agenda, we have MoDOT monthly update.
Morning,
Joe. Morning.
I thought before I got started on the materials I handed you, I'd give you a little bit of an update of our construction season. It kind of reflects where our current budget is, which is poor. there's not a whole lot going on in the county, but a lot of that is because we've done a lot of things in the past too. So I can't say that it's completely at the mercy of our budget. It's just that we've had a lot of overlays and things done in the last few years here. So. For the construction season this year, we will be having a chip seal on 76 from Kissimmee Mill to the Douglas County line, basically. And we will be finally getting that corrective overlay put on 160 and 125, where we had the overlay we put down, I think it's been 2 years now, maybe three. I think it's been two, where we put the product down late in the year, our contractor did. And we had some raveling and some failures. Took us a year or two to be able to budget to have that redone. So you'll see us out there. Jernigan Construction was the low bidder on that. They'll be overlaying portions of 160, basically from Kissimmee Mill to 125. And then 125 will be all the way from 76 down to the Arkansas line. That work will occur this summer. On both of those, we give them a window basically from April to October. So until we hear from the contractor, I don't know any more particulars on when that work will actually occur, but that's their window. A permit project that we have going down on 86 with Big Cedar, completely paid for by Big Cedar and Top of the Rock. That's proceeding. They're trying to get that done before the golf tournament, obviously in April. So that's chugging along pretty quickly. I've been told that they will be probably this week switching over to actual roundabout function. So traffic, you know, the signs, temporary signs and some things will be up to make it function as a roundabout. So we'll do press releases on that and make sure everybody's aware of the change in traffic pattern there. But that's progressing too. And then, of course, you've seen maintenance forces out. We've replaced several pipes underneath roadways this winter and addressing some ditching issues and some edge rooting issues and the typical winter work. Before you know it, we'll be out there mowing again so and spraying. I know they've been doing some spraying, too. So that's kind of a summary of what our work activities are. What I brought with me today was, and I already talked to a few groups about this, and you guys are probably aware of this. We've come to you many times and talked about our funding challenges, where we're going to be at. I talked to you guys last month, I believe, about the tough choices ahead and the 325 plan, which reduced down the number of roadways that we were going to maintain with contract work down to 8,000 miles out of our 34,000 miles that we maintain. And that was because we won't be able to match federal funds in 2017. Our construction budget will be down to $325 million. What I've given you here is a little handout I've got. There is legislation currently proposed, both in the House and the Senate, that would address at least our immediate needs, basically making sure that we don't lose out on that federal money, that we can do the federal match. And by federal match, I mean that we get, for every, you know, $2 we come up with, they come up with $8. So, I mean, that's where we're at. It's a 20% match, and we're unable to make it right now. So these bills have been addressed in both, or have been introduced in both the House and the Senate. It would be what they're calling a 2-2-2 solution. I believe that's to make sure that we can come in under
the Hancock or Farnahan amendments. And by 222, I mean that the gas tax would be raised 2 cents every year for 3 years for a total of 6 cents. And then from that point on, it would be indexed with the consumer price index to adjust for inflation. This would keep us under the Hancock Amendment, so it could be voted on by the legislature without getting in trouble with the state budget. And it would help us meet our obligations to meet our federal match, so we wouldn't be losing any federal money. Also, if this occurred, the tough choices ahead that I just spoke of, the 325 plan where we only spend money, construction money on 8,000 miles of roadway, the commission has said that that will go away. We would have sufficient funding to be able to maintain the rest of our roadways, so we would, you know, do away with the 325 plan. We would also be able to open up the cost share program again, which has been on hold now for almost a year. That has been very popular in this area. We have partnered with multiple cities and with the county on cost share type projects, so that would be available again. And we could make limited forays into safety improvements and some major projects, which we had basically said, hey, we can't do anything that adds to our system. So that would be opened up again as a possibility. Also, similar to the current gas tax, where portions of that money go to cities and counties, this will be similar. 15% would go to the counties and 15% would go to the cities. So I know that, you know, I talk constantly about MoDOT's needs, but I know that throughout when I meet with my cities and counties, I know everyone has infrastructure needs when it comes to roadways. And so that would also help everyone out. They calculate that the average household, based on fuel usage, the cost to an average driver for the month would be about the cost of a gallon of milk. So that's the impact. When people ask me what's my impact to my budget, that's what we're looking at. Do you guys have any questions? Okay. The other handout I gave you was just to illustrate if they act now during this legislative session, that we would have sufficient funds because by the time revenue collection kicks in, our fiscal year actually starts, like for 2017, our fiscal year will start in July of 2015, so this year, of 2016. So we would have sufficient funding by the time they started collecting revenues to make sure we meet that match. If we delay this a year, if this legislation does not get taken up until the following year, we would not have sufficient funding, and it would actually take us a couple of years to get out of the hole because of the delay. So that's just what that other handout's for. What we're asking is that that everyone, you know, talk to, if you're in favor of this, we need to make sure that our legislatures know, because this is a vote within the legislature. It's not a vote of the people. This will be done within the legislature to raise gas tax for roadways. Okay. No questions?
What was the amount that was originally requested last for the vote of the?
The 0.75 cent.
Is that what it was? Okay.
Mm-hmm. That would have been a sales tax.
Right.
And there were several groups that felt like a gas tax would be a better alternative for roadways. I know the approach that had been the 0.75 cent sales tax was proposed because they were looking at multiple forms of transportation, not only roadways but transit and some things for larger cities. So. Any news from Commissioner Strahan on the proposed roundabout?
I haven't heard anything except what was wrote in the paper, and I didn't know whether that was comments from you.
I'm sorry, I haven't seen it. So, was it comments from me? No one's asked me. So,
okay. I know that we were in discussion about the positioning of the roundabout, and because of the location, whether it be on the east side or west side of the bridge down here. And I think where the city had stated that they were all right with it coming to the west side.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't heard any more from the point where we had our conversation. So.
Okay. Well, I do know that the project manager, Christy Bachman, with the feedback she got from the city, I think that we are definitely pursuing going on the west side with the bridge location. Due to those power lines that are located on the east, we had a lot of feedback from contractors that were very concerned about the safety of building the bridge there on the east side. Obviously, you know, there will be some impact at that intersection, but, you know, the reality is I don't, you know, moving the roundabout a little bit to the east or the west, I don't think that really changes the functionality. It's just a matter of knowing if that's what we're going to be designing to or not. So the sooner we can get feedback from you guys, the better, because we're in the middle of design. So,
yeah. Well, there's been no discussion by the county commission on the roundabout as far as the amount of cost and everything that was presented to us. So,
okay.
We maybe post that and have some discussion about it. It was unreasonable, the amount that was stated to us. So
I can tell you that, of course, it's a private number, but I do know that the 86 roundabout, that number I gave you is very close to what, in fact, is probably a little bit less than what Big Cedar is paying for a roundabout on 86. So it's a very reasonable number.
I mean, it's unreasonable for the county's.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
Unreasonable for the county's participation.
Okay. All right, well,
I haven't discussed it with these other two gentlemen, so we have to go into a discussion about it, but, $1 million out of Road and Bridge to assist the state would not be, or MoDOT would not be what I would consider reasonable for that particular location.
Okay.
We've always tried to be a good partner and try to
understand.
Be 50-50 matches on it, but I can't see that it would be something that I would be interested in pursuing myself.
Now, we've got a lot of money tied up in the bridge. I believe that's about an $8 million project, so there's just
right.
not funding available for the roundabout.
Right. I understand. I'm okay. just telling you we haven't had a conversation
okay.
about it yet.
All right. Well, we talked last time, and I wasn't sure how long it was going to take the commission to act, so... We need to, I know from a design standpoint, we need to get that settled fairly quickly so that we'll know what we're designing to and if we need to design that intersection or if we need to leave it open for the county. So, okay. Thank
okay,
you.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. We have next on the agenda the intergovernmental agreement.
Is this the one that Shannon just, or Nikki just brought down to us, the newest one that was sent to us Friday evening?
Yes.
So let's go ahead and, it was. She brought it down while we were meeting this morning. Do you guys want to go into exec, discuss it, and then come out and do what we're going to do with it?
And vote on it. That would be fine with me. I don't care.
Move to go into executive session pursuant to 610.021 subsection 12 for contracts.
Second.
All in favor?
Brandon, aye.
Danny, aye.
Mike, aye.
Take a recess.
Well, recess.